Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning. It's another Panther Rants podcast. I'm Lott Harris here. Happy Monday to you guys. I'm sure the weather's it's somewhat all right, depending where you're at. Me, it's cold and rainy by our standards. I mean, it's 56 degrees, which is technically t-shirt weather, but it's rainy. I'm sure you guys are getting some snow coming. Supposedly, we're supposed to get snow, too. I guess we're supposed to get, like, a light drizzle of snow. But anyways, guys, it's a Monday after a pit victory. Not so much a pit victory. It was an ass-kicking of all sorts. And we did it in front of a decent-sized crowd because it was about 45K. It wasn't really sold out. But that's pretty much what you're going to get for a, you know, team that's 5-4 with the ACC Coastal line. You know, you're not going to get a sold-out, you know, sold-out crowd. They trotted out the all-time greats. They trotted out James Conner to give the speech. They gave Tony Dorsett another award. Lord knows how many we've given to Tony over the last, you know, 40, 50 years, but I know it's been 40, yeah. Yeah, at least the last 40 years. But hey, it was good to actually, instead of, you know, personally, I would rather have got them a W than just gave them an award, but he got both, so big bonus to him. And if there's any other football players in attendance as well, hey, they finally got to see a Pitt team show up when it was really on the line. And, you know, obviously by all technicalities, Pitt's not off the hook yet. They got 2 games to finish up and anything can happen. Basically, they got to win one of these next two to take care of things. They got Wake Forest, and Wake's been playing really good the last few weeks. And they just handed NC State a loss. On Friday, they defeated them 27-23. And I believe that they scored very late at the last second, or last minute maybe. But after starting out really bad, Wake has really turned it up. Pretty much similar to Pitt. They got off to a bad start, and then they turned it around. But the thing is, they also fired, I think early in the year, they fired their defensive coordinator after Notre Dame game. They did. They fired their defensive coordinator. Although, I mean, the defense is looking a little better now. But, you know, it's not the, you know, A6 Bears worthy defense, but I'm sure it's a little better. The thing is they're winning more games and they're, you know, still scoring points. And, you know, this game obviously isn't a, this game obviously is not a easy one for Pitt. Mainly because they're playing a team who has really nothing to lose from this game. Pitt has a lot on the line right now because they have the Coastal Division on the line. Now, if they lose to Wake, they get Miami final game of the year, and Miami has been a train wreck, and they've continued on that path. I'm sure a lot of doubts are coming about Mark Richt, but I think with Rick, I think if he can just get a decent quarterback, then get the ball with his athletes, I think he'll be fine. But right now, it's just not looking really good. It's just, you know, reared its ugly head. You know, teams pretty much after the Pitt win last year, teams figured out how they could beat Miami, and that's what happened. So as we get to the game itself, I said, you know, in the podcast last week that, you know, Virginia Tech is right near the bottom in pass defense. And if this would be a time for Pitt to get their passing game going, this would be it. And, you know, I recommended short passes and screens. Pitt did something different. They just went out and just, they bombed the heck out of them. I mean, seriously, they just bombed them. I said they'd have to go Dan Marino style, but good Lord, they did. I mean, they were airing that bitch out. Guys were coming with catches. Taysier Mack was back, and with the return of Mack, had some huge catches. Maurice French had huge catches. It was a sight to behold. I mean, it was, the first half was something that was unheard of. I mean, we've seen first halves like this. Remember the 09 game with Penn Cincinnati, where Pitt was up pretty big, and things just, you know, reared ugly head, which was pretty much what happened, which is pretty much representative of the Wanstead era. Us to grab a big lead and then second half somehow just fall apart. And you know, Dave had some really good teams. It just, there was some games that we just lost where we left points off the scoreboard and we couldn't close it out, and or we just found creative ways to lose games. And this one, not so much. I mean, at one point, Virginia Tech was moving the ball and they did score some points. They put up about a good whole 15 points in the second half. It was 30-22 when they scored. But Pitt closed it out with two big runs, also on fourth down. And then he gets the ball. We get the ball around three, and he runs it. He takes it to the house. He had two guys trying to tackle him, and they ended up tackling each other. And he took it the rest of the way. And then he gets a penalty for excessive celebration because he did a flip in the end zone. So, yeah, the ACC refs were obviously so triggered by that they had to throw a flag. I mean, it was a flip. I mean, for God's sakes, it was a flip in the end zone. It wasn't like the guy grabbed his crotch and jumped and leapt. I mean, he pulled Mashar Lynch, where he grabs his crotch and jumps on the end zone. I mean, the guy just did a flip. That was it. But I guess, you know, maybe, you know, Quadri wore a shirt and tie, you know, like a suit and tie, and did it. Maybe would they flag him? Probably not, because you know he would look professional when he did it, at least. But anyways, big win. I mean, Pitt was able to pass the ball, and they were able to run the ball. They did everything. And as far as Virginia Tech goes, I think if Fuente is going to be your guy, I think he's got to make changes in the offseason. And probably, like I said before, I think Bud Foster probably gets his change. Probably is going to have a change of scenery. Whether it's another team, or maybe he wants to stay at the school and doesn't a front office job, or he just, you know, gets a buyout and just goes to the beach and hangs out for a little while. Because I'm sure over the years, even during the Frank Beamer era, he probably made some big chunks of money. Probably invested it, I hope. But I think, you know, that's the Bud Foster era has pretty much come to an end. And, you know, he had some really good defenses over the years. And naturally, we were able to, you know, win, you know, beat them straight up. I mean, we beat them with Tino Sunzeri. I mean, that's, if there was ever a red flag for the, for Beamer ball, there you go right there. But Pitt has Wake coming up, and we'll talk about that game later. But, you know, for a lot of you Pitt fans, awesome showing up, man. I mean, it was a big game. They needed you guys. It was cold, but you know what? We live in Pittsburgh. Of course the games are going to be cold. So you bundle up. get your hand in foot warmers. The foot warmers sometimes work. I mean, they work to a degree. But the thing is when you're sitting and on concrete for, you know, if you're resting on concrete for long periods of time, especially really cold concrete, your feet are still going to freeze. The key is you got to get up and move around. So when it's halftime or whatnot, you got to get up and you got to walk around and get the blood flowing. Then after that, you're fine. For me, all the years I went to the Steeler games and sat in the cold, even some pit games. It's just the wind blowing from the rivers was always the biggest pain. But it was for me, it was more just my feet were always the biggest problem, because you're just sitting there still for long periods of time, and it doesn't matter how many layers you got, you're still gonna be hot. But anyways, I know we all have our methods to staying bundled up. I mean, for me, when I went to the games, it was all about layers. You know, I would wear I'd start out with, wearing thermal shirts and thermal pants. You know, those oversized underwear. I always started with those, and then I worked my way up. I would do that. I would do some jogging pants. And maybe some thick pants. Like almost like a snowsuit type of thing. And of course jeans. And my top, I do the same thing, thermals, t-shirt, a hoodie, and then the jacket. And of course you have your pair of gloves, and sometimes people wear multiple gloves, but if you can invest yourself in a really good pair of gloves, and you got the hand warmers you put in them, you really don't need anything else, because the hand warmers, they'll freaking last you Lord knows how long. And as far as your head goes, there's always the tassel cap, which is nice. For me, I would wear I would do a combination sometimes. I'd wear a tassel cap. If it got too hot, my head would get too hot, I would just take it off and throw the hoodie on. As long as something's covering your ears, that's all that matters, because it's a pain in the ass. The worst is when your ears get cold. It's miserable. A lot of times I got tired, I would just wear earmuffs. But anyways, guys, let's get on to the rest of the weekend. And I guess, Wake defeated NC State this week, and which was a shocker. NC State's, they've gone down another path since losing to Clemson. I'm not sure, maybe getting their asses beat by Clemson, shook them a little bit. Shook their confidence, because they just haven't been the same team since then. They've lost some heartbreaking games, and this was another one they lost. But Syracuse beat the crap out of Louisville, and of course, Bobby Petrino was fired yesterday. And I guess there was rumors, reports that this was coming down eventually. But if you look at what Louisville has to pay to get to a new coach, it's ridiculous. Petrino has a really big buyout. I think it's double digits. I think they had to buy him out. Not to mention, if they want Jeff Brohm, they got to buy him out too. I mean, there's a lot that Louisville has, and plus, not to mention, they got to invest in a new coach. So this is going to be pretty expensive for Louisville. And quite frankly, it couldn't happen to a bigger, finer group of assholes than these guys. I was all on board with them being in the ACC, but realizing what a bunch of pricks the people that run their athletic department. Well, of course, Jerk got fired, So that was long over freaking due. He gets fired. He was a dickhead too. And then, of course, Bobby got his comeuppance. But yeah, looking back, if I could do it all over again, I'd rather we just had UConn. You know. Yeah, sure it's shitty football, but in terms of everything else, I think UConn would have been fine. But the time Louisville had tons of momentum with football since the Big East. I mean, of course, they recovered from the Cragthorpe era. Charlie Strong did a hell of a job. And really, Bobby Petrino pretty much piggybacked off of whatever talent Charlie left them. And, of course, Lamar Jackson, kept them afloat. And once Lamar was gone, that was it. That was it for that program. At least for Petrino. But I remember Jarek when he was all pissed off and arrogant over Pitt getting the ACC invite, where he didn't know why Pitt would be such a fit for the ACC. And it was the middle of a football game when they asked him about it. I guess he was he didn't see what the fit was. Yet this was the same guy who at the same time was calling the ACC, inquiring about getting his team his school in. So how the hell are you going to get mad at us for doing something you were doing too? The only reason why you were mad is because we got in and you didn't. And of course you got into a little bidding war of West Virginia and trying to get into a conference. And hell, you guys were using you got your elected officials involved. That's how bad this was. But West Virginia, got into the Big 12. They fought to get in. Louisville obviously lost that bidding war, and then ACC picked them up, and you had all the Rick Pitino stuff happening, and I got into an argument with a Louisville media guy last year over the Stallings thing, where he said Stallings was a scumbag and this and that. Not to mention Stallings gave Cam Johnson over 100 schools to transfer to without having to sit out 2 years. And of course, the guy tells me if I want to support a scumbag, I'm like, okay, your coach just fucking gave hookers and whatnot to barely legal kids of not underage on recruiting trips. But my coach is a scumbag because because he'll let some kid transfer almost anywhere in the country, but in conference he has to sit out 2 years. By all means, I get it. Kids should be able to transfer whatever they want, just like coaches do. But in terms of rules, they are what they are, and I think Pitt was very fair to Cam Johnson about it. But once all the legal stuff got involved, it was best for Pitt to sign the waiver and let him go play right away. And really, he's just a distant memory now, since Stallings is gone and we got some new guys in. And and Cam right now, for the most part, he's just a face right now. He's not really a name anymore. And they picked him up for a shooting, and I don't know, he was injured starting the season. He wasn't really healthy, so hopefully, hopefully he'll turn around. Just to hopefully he plays shit against us, that's all. But the rest of the weekend, there wasn't many desirable matchups. Notre Dame beat the crap out of Florida State. Penn State beat Wisconsin, which didn't surprise me. My buddy Paul Christ had it, was using a different quarterback, and you know, Wisconsin started off, you know, pretty good in the beginning, but the wheels have been falling off, and they're just having a, you know, just a disappointing year. And that's the thing with Paul Christ is his teams, he builds good teams. It's just, he's had, well, not really built, but he's had good teams for Wisconsin, but what's held him back has been the quarterback. I mean, he did a hell of a job with Chad Wojtek at Pitt, because he was able to tinker the playbook to his abilities, and then once he left, Wojtek had to do other things and change his offense, and he ended up sitting the bench. You know, he lost his job to Peterman. But there wasn't really many marquee matchups. You had West Virginia pasted TCU. Boston College and Clemson, the big ACC matchup we all heard about. It was close at halftime, but of course Clemson pulled away in the second half. And that was it. And you figured that was gonna, you know, that's how that was gonna go. LSU barely beat Arkansas. And the thing about LSU is Orgeron's been getting by with really good defense in a running game. His offense hasn't really been all that great, and you know, people blame Matt Canada for a lot of what was going on last year, and it really wasn't his fault at all. Ohio State paced in Michigan State 26-6. No one's surprised by that. I thought the game would be a lot closer. It's just like Pitt, Virginia Tech. I thought the game was going to be like, you know, 7 points either way. I expect Pitt to wallop the hell out of Virginia Tech as bad as they did. But like the game itself was a sleeper for the most part, but Ohio State was going to win because they just had better athletes. Oklahoma State had a really good game, and I watched that, and Oklahoma let them score pretty much, and it was just bad coverage. Oklahoma State went for two, and it failed, and of course the guy was kind of open. It's just that he threw the ball behind him. But I thought I would have just, you know, the play itself, I thought I would have came up with something a little different, but whatever. Texas won their game, and obviously there's been some dirty laundry being aired out. Zach Smith pretty much went on Twitter and firebombed everybody. I guess he went for Tom Herman and pretty bad, and I guess went after, I guess, supposedly Tom, I guess, cheated on his wife a whole bunch of times, and of course, he just, Zach's airing out dirty laundry, and I'm not sure what happened there. And I guess in terms of Zach Smith is, with all the stuff that happened, I guess he's felt that he's been hung out to dry, and now he's just lashing out at people. You know, I think with Urban, you know, in terms of Urban Meyer, when he was doing this stuff back in Florida, I'm not sure what Urban saw in this guy or why he liked him so much. But he was doing this domestic stuff with his wife in Florida, and then when Urban left, because he had, you know, he was having some health issues, of course. It wasn't the firebombing that the Florida program was going under. Because as soon as he left, a lot of stuff happened. Guys getting in trouble, getting kicked off the team. And Aaron Hernandez obviously was doing some things of his own, and of course, it copped him later in life when he was, when he went to jail for murdering people. But obviously, that was, you know, Urban had to get out of there as quick as he could. And, you know, his health problems magically went away. And he ends up at Ohio State. But the thing is with Zach Smith, he probably should have cut his ties with him after Florida. Even if Zach won the job, just say, hey, dude, I love you, but you gotta go find your own way. Or just block him. Or just block him on his phone. I mean, that's all I can do. It's a total mess. But as far as the rest of the weekend goes, we'll look at some ACC games here. Duke took out North Carolina, so they're going to go bowling. Virginia knocked off Liberty, which is no big surprise. They suck, but Virginia has Georgia Tech next week, who defeated Miami 27-21. Despite the crappy start for Georgia Tech, Paul Johnson's going to bowl in, but I'm not sure if that's going to save his job because Miami sucks. But they took out Miami, so now we got to hope that Tech can take out Virginia this week. I'm not sure that will happen, but Georgia Tech is playing a lot better than what they have, but, you know, in the past. But we may have to send them a thank you fruit basket if they can take care of this, because really we just need Virginia to lose and then we're fine. We can just screw off the rest of the season because we got our sixth win. And I mean, how hilarious would it be if Pitt lost all of his non-conference games and then ran the table in the Coastal? I mean, can you imagine if they were just like, they're 6-4 now? Imagine if they were like 5-5 right now. It's like they lost all their non-conference games, but they ran the table in the Coastal. That'd be awesome. But as far as the, that's pretty much the college book in a nutshell, because there was really nothing happening for the most part. I mean, there was really no good games and really not much of anything to talk about. But as far as the NFL goes, a lot of crazy wins. I mean, Titans knock off the Patriots, which is a shocker because the Titans at one point weren't really good. Dallas last night took out Philly. Eagles with that Super Bowl hangover. It happens. You know, I saw it in Pittsburgh, where both times where they won the Super Bowl, they make the playoffs the next year. Although the first Super Bowl they won in 2005 was more self-inflicted because Roethlisberger got hurt in the offseason because he rode his motorcycle into a car. And he was pretty much hurt. I mean, not to mention he wasn't wearing a helmet. And the fact that he made it out of there with just a busted jaw and some busted teeth is a miracle, but he wasn't really the same player for most of that season, and he came on towards the end, though, if I remember correctly. But eventually, he recovered. After they won the Super Bowl back in 2009, I think they won 2009. They won. Next season, they struggled. And I think they depart with some players as well that were crucial in their defense. So, there's that. as far as the Steelers go, it's their division lose because Baltimore is not a dumpster fire. And, you know, Joe Flacco's hurt. Or he's hurting. And there's rumors that the Ravens are gonna part with John Harbaugh, and I think the writing was on the wall with this when they drafted Lamar Jackson, because that's something that John Harbaugh would have done. This was kind of their way of saying, hey, you know what, things haven't really been the same since we won the Super Bowl. We need some sort of a change of quarterback because Flacco obviously has been mediocre since the Super Bowl. Basically, adjust to some changes, or we're gonna make them for you. That's what this was. Is they drafted Lamar Jackson because they said, hey, if you're not gonna make changes, we'll do them for you. And we're seeing that right now. I mean, Harbaugh's had a good tenure at Baltimore. Just at the end, after the Super Bowl, it fell apart because they gave Flacco a big contract, and he probably really wasn't worth that money they gave him. But you had to pay him anyway because somebody else was going to do it. You needed a quarterback, but he didn't think they would drop off as bad as they did. I mean, of course they'd let some players go because they couldn't sign them all anymore. And not to mention Ray Lewis retires, who was like your vocal leader of your team. And sometimes losing vocal leaders, it's tough because, you know, other guys have to take on that role, and some can't. It's like the Transformers movie, the old one, where Optimus Prime dies and he gives the the Matrix to another Transformer. I guess it's his, I forget who the heck his name was. Shoot. All I know is that Robert Stack was the voice of him. But he said, you know, you gotta carry the Matrix. And he's like, I can't carry this. I'm just a regular Transformer robot. I'm just a working guy. And of course, he ends up losing the Matrix. He gets killed. And then Hot Rod, in the end, Hot Rod gets the Matrix and he pulls it apart, and he becomes Rodimus Prime. And then you hear the music play, you know from Boogie Nights, where Dirk Diggler's singing that, you know, that, yeah, I'm not gonna sing that. You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah, that song. That song comes out, and of course, he says, now you're Rodimus Prime. And all of a sudden, Rodimus Prime comes out and starts kicking all this ass, and, you know, destroys Magnetron, or whatever his name was, because Megatron changed because he was near death. Because Unicron, I guess he was under Unicron's power, and of course, they destroy Unicron, and the whole world's happy. But, you know, it's, anyway, we go from Joe Flacco to Transformer talk. It's phenomenal. And Levy and Bell obviously didn't report. And supposedly not going to report. And there's not much to say about this. I mean, you know, Des Bryant, you know, held out, and I guess he turned down a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Ravens, and would have paid him $7 million a year. He turned it down because he felt he was worth more, and he held out. And finally, the Saints signed him for pocket change. He busts his Achilles, and then you got these people going, well, you know, this is why athletes should hold out as much as they can, because these things happen. Well, yeah, Des Bryant held as long as he could and ended up a pocket change, and now look at him. I mean, of course, you hold on and try to make as much money as you can. that's the part of the game, but there's other variables to this. For one thing, your players union has to organize better deals where it gets, you know, them more money guaranteed. Because I'm sure they're seeing these NBA players getting all this big guaranteed money. I mean, hell, when Timothy Mozgov gets a big ass contract. I mean, his contract, I think at one point, was bigger than some really good players in the NFL. But the players union has to get balls and organize a better agreement. Then things will go a little bit better for them. But in a case of Le'Veon Bell, he held out for more money, thinking the Steelers were going to pay him. And it's like what Curtis Martin said in his Hall of Fame speech when he was hurt and he didn't want to play. And Bill Parcells says, "Well, fine, but if this guy, you have a really good guy behind you, but if he performs really well, you're going to lose your job." And that's the case here, where James Conner was behind him. He didn't think Conner was going to do anything. Conner takes over, and look what happens. So he has nothing to negotiate on now, and not to mention he's lost a whole bunch of money. And, he lost a lot of money this year as well, so he could have signed this deal and just said, "You know what, I'm just going to sit out. The hell with it." There's a lot he could have did, but it is what it is. I mean, the Steelers agreed to this as well. If anything, they could at least dealt him or traded him or did something with him. I mean, because Dwayne Brown did this with the Texans, and he came back to play just to show people he could play, and the Texans dealt him because he wanted out of Houston. But anyways, guys, I've rambled enough for about a good 40 minutes. Hell to pit, you guys. Have a good week. Enjoy the week. We got another ass kicking to do this week.